Chapter 6, Basic Training, The Fundamental Skills Every Dog Needs to Know. Once you bring your dog home, you may be wondering when you can start training her. The answer is now. If you have a puppy, you may be astonished at what your dog is capable of learning at a very young age. And if you have an older dog, recall that the cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is completely untrue. No matter what your dog's age is, she'll be ready to learn from you from day one. Dogs crave human interaction to feel complete. Remember, they were bred to work with us. There are two main types of training sessions: primary ones, in which you attempt to teach something new to your dog, and secondary ones, which are more spontaneous, casual training sessions that arise due to specific circumstances. Either way, here are a few things to keep in mind when you start training. Don't expect unrealistically fast results. Sure, your dog will learn some things like sit very quickly. However, other skills, such as ignoring distractions on a walk, can take much longer. The slower you go, the faster your results will be. For the first 6 to 8 weeks, establish a rough draft of the behaviors you want. Then you can spend the next 6 months to a year refining your dog's behavior to a point that fits your family's lifestyle, needs, and ultimate goals. You won't have linear successive progress. You will have a few bumps in the road, and that's perfectly normal. Do you remember ever learning a concept in school and feeling like you understood it, but when you got home and had to do homework related to that concept, you were totally lost? Dogs seem to experience the same thing. Never blame your dog. Remember that when you minimize your mistakes, your dog will learn faster. Dogs learn best after exercise. One big frustration point for many of my clients is that their dogs won't listen when they introduce new concepts. That's primarily because most people with hyper dogs don't know to exercise their dogs before primary training sessions. Remember, dogs like this cannot absorb new concepts until they burn off their excess energy. If you have a dog with lots of energy, engage in vigorous activity with her, such as fetch, before you start training. Be flexible. Things are not black and white when it comes to teaching your dog. It's time to throw out the overgeneralizations about your dog's breed or mix and focus on her as an individual. Rewards. The importance of knowing your dog's currency. Imagine if you were given a bonus at work whenever you did your job well. I'm sure most of you would say that would definitely give you extra incentive to always try your best. Our dogs have their own version of this. There are two primary types of currency, or money, for your dog: really good treats and, for many dogs, extra playtime. For something to qualify as amazing currency, your dog must absolutely love it, not just like it. Keep in mind that affection doesn't count as currency. Our dogs should never be required to earn this, so dish out the love for free as much as you'd like. For treats during primary training sessions, again, use tiny pieces of real chicken or other meat. The reward should be the size of a grain of rice for small dogs and no larger than a pea for medium to large dogs. Trust me, it's the quality of the treat, not the quantity, that counts, because you want to have the option of rewarding over and over again without filling your dog up. Think of this tiny piece of meat as the equivalent of a $1 bill to your dog. What about commercial dog treats? They have their place too, and I suggest having several containers of soft dog treats throughout the house, because there will be times when you need to burst into a spontaneous training session and you'll need to have your dog's currency handy. Think of these as equivalent to a quarter. Dog biscuits and even bits of kibble are equivalent to a penny. It's fine to give them to your dog, but not when training. Remember, the currency you choose has to really excite your dog. While great treats will work with most dogs, some moderate to high-energy dogs will really excel if you reward a training success with a brief play activity, such as a 5-second game of tug-of-war or one or two tosses of a ball. I stress this because it's far too common for people to insist that their dog accept that treats be the reward, even as their dog, say, jumps on them and bites at the leash. These are sure signs that a dog is desperately trying to initiate play. If your dog is saying, "I want to do this," then try to incorporate whatever that is into the reward. So, in the case of biting on a leash during a walk, consider using a tug toy to bring attention onto the acceptable currency instead. Also, Remember to put away your dog's favorite toys unless you're playing with them. That way, your pet will be excited when you bring them out as a reward. If special toys like balls, frisbees, and tug toys are just left out all the time, they'll likely lose their potency. Do you have to reward with food or play forever? Absolutely not. However, for the first year of training, you'll want your dog always wondering what she might win if she listens. And for the first 16 weeks of training, I strongly encourage you to reward your dog liberally. The more you praise and pay her, the faster she'll learn. After your dog has fully demonstrated that she understands a particular skill in the environment where you are teaching, you can tone down the rewards by following intermittent reinforcement, which I explained in Chapter 4. Rewarding your dog occasionally with no discernible pattern keeps her guessing and listening. Use this psychology to your advantage. Regardless of the reward you use, and you can certainly use both food and play if that works for your dog, always give her a lot of affection and show your appreciation. Don't just be a robot when giving treats and engaging in playtime. Also, don't pay lip service and get excited when your dog does something well only because that's what you're supposed to do. You must be genuinely encouraging. I remember when my dad taught me how to play baseball when I was a boy. He explained the game to me and told me to keep my eye on the ball and try to hit it when it approached. When I succeeded, he didn't simply say good in a monotone voice. He was so excited that he came over, hugged me, and said he was so proud. It was his sincerity and positive energy that I was encouraged by. And I know that dogs are sophisticated enough to be encouraged in the same way. So what do you treat for? At first, find tiny reasons to reward your dog when introducing a new concept. Open up the bank account and let the money flow. Your dog doesn't have to perfect a skill to get a treat or playtime. Even if she makes the slightest move in the right direction or does what you ask for a split second, reward her so she knows she's on the right track. These little moments give you traction as you build communication. You may find yourself rewarding your dog dozens of times a day for such small successes, and that's fine. As I mentioned earlier, that's why you should give a minuscule bit of treat, nothing big. It's her taste buds you're trying to please, not her stomach. Clicker training. I'm a huge fan of clicker training, and I encourage you to use one if you're interested. The clicker is a small, inexpensive device available from many dog retailers. Its clicking sound tells your pet, "Yes, good dog. I like what you did, you win a prize," after you've conditioned her to understand this, which can take mere seconds. I often recommend that beginners use a clicker because it helps them get better with timing, an essential ingredient to dog training that most people are not immediately good at. When first teaching a new concept, I always suggest rewarding for every tiny bit of progress. For instance, if you ask your dog to watch me and she does so for even a second, it's important to always let her know she's on the right track. Saying, "Yes, I like that and that and that," repeatedly can be challenging at first. You may need to do that dozens of times in one session. Sometimes our fingers are quicker than our words, and if you have a clicker in your hand to press at the moment your dog moves toward the behavior you want, you are going to be clearer and more consistent when trying to communicate what you like. Eventually, your dog will look for ways to make that clicker go off, which is exactly what you want. Here's how to introduce the clicker. Don't start with the clicker too close to your dog. The sound makes some dogs anxious at first. It's better to start at a distance or by muffling the sound a bit with your hand. Next, click the clicker a single time, wait a second or two, and give your dog a reward. Do this for a few minutes until your dog seems accustomed to the clicking noise. Be methodical and deliberate, but don't make any type of request with the clicker. You simply want to communicate that when the clicker makes a sound, a small, great-tasting treat will follow. Now start incorporating the clicker into actual training. Ask your dog to sit. I'll explain how to teach that a little later in this chapter. The second your dog's backside hits the ground, you click and follow up with a reward. If you tell your dog, "Watch me," the second she makes eye contact with you, click and reward. Also, try coupling the click with the word "yes," either directly before or after the click. An awesome thing happens when you do this. Your dog will learn that the click and "yes" mean the same thing. When teaching a new skill, click only once for each small success and reward each time. Eventually, you can wean off the clicker. The clicker is as temporary or as permanent as you'd like it to be. Yes and no in training. These two words are the backbone of your initial training. To effectively teach them, it's important that every time you say yes to tell your dog you like something she did, you need to follow this up with a good reward at first. That way, the word yes means something to your dog, specifically a treat or a brief play session. As for no, please understand that when you say this word to your dog, it should never come from a place of anger or frustration. There's no need to raise your voice or be authoritative. No should simply mean, nope, that's not what I'm looking for here. Please try again. Every time you say no, you should also withhold the reward itself, or, in the case of your dog's chewing up a shoe, you should take the shoe away. This is the consequence for doing something you do not wish to see repeated. You can also remove your dog from the environment when necessary. She can't dig up your carpet when she's in a puppy playpen in the kitchen. Never follow no with a leash jerk or other harsh corrections. The key is to teach with decency and logic, not force. Here's an example of yes and no in action. Assuming you are confident that your dog knows the word sit in the environment you're working in, don't simply repeat sit a second time if your dog doesn't sit when you first ask her to do so. Instead, say sit, then wait a few seconds, and if your dog doesn't do it, say no as a way of saying try again. Then, when your dog does sit, say yes, sit, and reward her so she'll understand that she's done the right thing. The better you get at emphasizing the yes, the better teacher you'll become. One more note. In the beginning, sticking with yes and no may make your job easier, but as you progress, you may find yourself using synonyms for these words. If you're more the type to say awesome, great job, or nope, then go with it. I really want you to feel liberated to be natural and real when training, so this is your call. The basic skills. Here I'll walk you through the fundamentals all dogs should know. Supplies needed. A 4 to 6 foot leash, a 20 to 30 foot lead leash, a harness and or non-metal collar, treats, a few favorite toys, a clicker, optional. A reminder, introducing new words. When you're teaching your dog any skills, remember that you shouldn't just say the words such as come or stay before you've taught her to do it. Here's what to do. 1. Get your dog to perform the action you intend to pair with a word by either luring her or encouraging her with your body language. 2. As your dog does the thing you like, say yes or awesome, good job, or whatever you'd like, and then say the new word or phrase. For example, if you were teaching your dog to stand up on all fours, you would say, yes, stand, as your dog stands up, not before. Be deliberate, even taking twice as long as usual to say the word to really emphasize this. 3. As the behavior becomes more reliable, begin preceding the action with the word and hand signal. When your dog does the behavior, say yes and give the reward. Watch me, look at me. If you eventually want your dog to focus on you and listen to you in any situation, regardless of distractions, you must start with teaching your dog watch me, or its variant, look at me. It's so important that it's the very first thing I teach most dogs. If your dog isn't looking at you, then it will be that much more difficult to guide her. Also, having eye contact with your dog is a crucial element to communication, just as it is with other humans. Of course, I'm not saying you should go up to a dog you don't know and stare her in the eyes. Some dogs could find that confrontational. This is about learning to connect with your dog. Here's what to do. 1. If you're comfortable doing so, sit on the ground so that you're eye level with your dog. Hold a treat directly in front of your eyes. Your dog will likely look at the treat, and as soon as you have eye contact with her, say, yes, watch me. Start close, keeping your training bubble, the distance between your dog's eyes and your own, very small. The closer you are to your dog, the more likely she will comprehend what you want at first. Repeat this a few times. Once your dog is reliably looking at the treat as you hold it up to your eyes, move on to the next step. 2. Most dogs are very receptive to body language, so next, point to your eyes with your index finger, but this time without the treat in your hand. That way, your dog is now looking at your finger, not at the food. Again, as soon as she looks at you, say, "Yes, watch me." And then you can give her the treat with your other hand. Do you see what we did? We taught our first hand signal, and what a powerful one it is. Reward liberally for weeks on this one. 3. Gradually stretch the training bubble by working your way up to being able to stand straight up. The goal is that you'll be able to stand up and hold your dog's gaze for 5 to 10 seconds as she remains in front of you. Once you have your dog's eyes on you, you'll know you have her attention. Leave it. I can't stress too much how vital this skill is. Leave it will be a foundation for distraction training down the road, which I'll cover in a bit, and it can also possibly save your dog's life if she's about to gobble up something she finds on the ground. I promise that you can quickly teach your dog to leave anything alone without touching her or restraining her in any way. Here's what to do. 1. Place a bit of food in your hand. Let your dog know it's there. Your dog will probably frantically try to get to it, especially if she's got a lot of energy. So close your hand at first if necessary to prevent that. After 30 seconds to 2 minutes, most dogs will either become distracted by something else or will lose interest for a microsecond, which is when you instantly say yes, and after a deliberate half-second pause, say leave it while you immediately give her the food. Repeat this step a few times. 2. Next, slowly place a piece of food on the floor in front of your dog. Again, she will probably lunge for it, so put your hand over the food, restricting her access to it, and say no. Since saying no always has a consequence, in this case, the consequence is that she can't have the food. Notice how I'm not suggesting you touch your dog, pull her away from the food, or nudge her backwards. Instead, you are encouraging her to think for herself and decide to leave the morsel alone. This is inside-out teaching in full bloom. 3. Begin to slowly reveal the food to your dog, making sure you cover it up each time your dog tries to get it prematurely. When your dog doesn't go for it or uses even the slightest bit of self-restraint, enthusiastically say, "Yes, leave it." Give her the reward. However, don't let her eat it off the floor. Pick it up and give it to her so that she learns that rewards always come directly from you. Repeat this often. 4. As your dog shows that she understands leave it, begin surprising her with spontaneous 60-second leave it training sessions to start simulating real-life distractions. Practice this as much as you can. You'll use leave it to set up lots of future training sessions, so get really good at it. Leave it, watch me combo. Now that you've learned the leave it and watch me, it's time to combine them. This is a magical exercise and one of the most important lessons because it's the first step to teaching your dog to listen to you in the face of distractions. Your dog might leave something alone during a mellow training session in your house, but it's a whole different ballgame getting her to do the same while you're on a walk and she encounters a cat running by, another dog, or a chicken bone on the sidewalk. If you can make it through this exercise, which you will, you're going to be unstoppable. Here's what to do. 1. Start simply in your home. Do a basic leave it drill with a piece of meat. However, this time when your dog leaves the meat alone, encourage her to look at you by saying, "Watch me." Since you've changed a variable here, adding the "watch me" to leave it, your dog may be thrown off at first, so don't expect a polished result initially. When she does, say yes and reward her. See what you're doing? You're getting your dog's attention on you instead of a real piece of meat right in front of her. Dogs must be able to do this before you can expect them to listen to you outside of the house. 2. Mix things up a little. Take a favorite toy and drop it in front of your dog. When you drop it, have her repeat the leave it, watch me drill. It's important to practice this as much as possible and in a variety of ways. Work up to being able to throw the toy or treat as you walk with your dog away from it, toward it, or to the left or right of it. The idea is that you are preparing her for real-life distractions by showing her how to respond to mild distractions at first. 3. If you're doing well with this, move the lesson to your front yard or driveway. Your dog may be thrown off by the significant change at first, so just slow down and don't insist that she do the leave it, watch me drill as well as she did it inside quite yet. 4. The purpose of this drill is to make sure your dog understands the concept of choosing to look at you even when she sees something she wants. As your dog gets better at this, take the opportunity to practice it in various situations. For example, maybe you see another dog down the street behind a fence. From a distance that's not too overwhelming to your dog, practice "watch me." In essence, the dog in the distance is now the distraction instead of the treat or toy. Of course, perfecting this skill when your dog is really excited about something she sees, hears, or smells may take lots of practice. Low-energy dogs often pick it up quickly because they're less persistent by nature. However, if you have a high-energy dog like I do, work at a faster pace by aiming to get lots of back-to-back successes, even if those successes are very small. Sit, down, up, and stand. Dogs are capable of learning multiple things at once. So, in my training classes, I always introduce the concepts of sit, down, up, and stand in one lesson. I do this by lure training, using a treat to entice your dog to achieve a specific physical position. You're not just tossing a treat to your dog, you're actually using the treat to guide her into the desired position or through a particular motion. This way, you can show your dog how to do what you want as opposed to making her do what you want. Lure training will come in handy in a variety of training circumstances. To do lure training most effectively, you'll need to remember you're luring with your dog's nose, not her eyes. So, think of the treat and your dog's nose as magnets. They need to be very close at all times when initially luring. If a treat and a dog's nose get too far apart, the lure falls apart. Also, nearly all people lure too fast at first. Instead, lure in slow motion. Doing this delivers the fastest results. If your dog does not follow the food lure at first, this likely means you are not using a treat she loves, you're moving too fast, or you're asking her to do something in an unfamiliar or distracting environment, and she just needs time to adjust. Here's what to do. 1. Sit. Hold a small treat between your thumb and forefinger, and make sure that your dog sees it. Keeping it very close to your dog's nose, move it up over the bridge of her nose and up so that she lifts her nose directly up toward the ceiling or sky. As her head tilts further back, usually she will naturally sit down. If she jumps up, then that probably means you are starting with a treat too high away from her face. The second your dog's hind legs touch the ground, say, "Yes, sit," once, then give her the treat and some enthusiastic praise. 2. Down. Next, starting with your dog sitting and keeping the treat magnetized to your dog's nose, very slowly move the treat down to the ground so that your dog follows the lure into the down position. When she lies down, say something like, "Great job, down," and give her the treat. It's worth noting that some dogs, particularly small ones, do not follow a lure well when going into a down specifically. For these dogs, it may help to lure down and inward toward their chests. You also have the option of capturing a down. For example, many dogs begin to turn in a circle right before they lie down, giving you notice that they're about to do it. This would be your cue to say down as your dog performs the action. When you rely on capturing behaviors, results may take some extra time, but you'll still get there if you're consistent. 3. Up. After starting with sit and down, raise the lure back up so that your dog automatically rises to reach it. This lure can be farther away from your dog's nose, as most dogs are fairly eager to get the treat, though some might need a little coaxing. Your goal is to get her from the down position to the sit position. I call this up because the action from a dog's perspective is much different from a usual sit. When your dog reaches her head up and she rises into a sit position, say, "Yes, up," and give her the treat. 4. Stand. Now that your dog is back into the sit position, take the lure and move it slowly away from her face, but slightly upward until she naturally stands up on all fours. Say, "That's it, stand," and give her the treat. She earned it. Be extra quick with your acknowledgement because many dogs will take a step or two toward the treat. Ideally, you want to prevent your dog from getting into this habit now. 5. Of course, you don't have to always ask for these four skills at the same time or in this particular order. Mix it up and keep your dog guessing. I find this to be a great way to keep things exciting and engaging for you and your dog. Also, if your dog is wound up and has lots of energy, focus on keeping your timing extra tight, as the moments of success will come rapidly. If you miss acknowledging those moments, you're also missing opportunities to communicate to your dog that you wish to see these skills repeated. 6. Once your dog is confidently sitting, lying down, and so on, you can evolve your lure into hand signals that resemble the original lure at first, and gradually turn them into whichever hand signals feel comfortable. The easiest way to get traction on this process is to fake your dog out a bit and make her think that you are luring with a treat while you actually have the treat in your other hand or somewhere nearby. Now say the words and use the hand motion just before she gets into a particular position, and then once she does, give her the treat from the opposite hand. This will convey that you want your dog looking at your hand for the signal, not the treat. Come. This is another critical skill that all dogs need to learn. The last thing you want is your dog running into harm's way only to ignore you when you call her back to you. Make it a big priority to teach come as soon as possible. Here's what to do. 1. Starting in a quiet, familiar environment, have your dog between you and, if possible, another person. If you're teaching come by yourself, keep your dog on a long lead leash. At first, make sure your dog is only a few feet from you. Remember, the closer you are to your dog, the easier it is for her to learn initially. Show your dog that you have a reward in hand, and then call her to you in a really inviting and possibly high-pitched voice. Forget about your dignity. Just focus on being exciting to your dog. The goal is not just to get your dog to come to you, but to make her really want to come to you. When she takes even one step towards you, praise her enthusiastically and say, "Great, come!" Give her the reward. Again, the key here is to make your dog realize that by coming to you, good things are going to happen for her. If you're working with another person, have them repeat the same drill so that your dog is running back and forth between the two of you. 2. Gradually increase the distance from which you ask your dog to come. If at any time during training your dog stops coming to you, reduce the distance and very slowly try to work back to that point. Keep in mind that moderate to high-energy dogs usually respond to come during controlled training sessions very well, whereas a more reserved dog might need a minute to process what's going on. Either way, practice this randomly and often when your dog doesn't expect it, such as while you're cooking or working on your computer. This is how you'll begin to help her generalize the concept outside of the initial training sessions. 3. Once you've succeeded repeatedly at home, take your training sessions outside. Keep your dog on a long lead leash so that you can ultimately have control. A surefire way to get most dogs to come is to run away from them. Most dogs love to play chase, so make yours chase you. When she catches you, say yes, come, and give her a reward. 4. Over the next several months of training, prioritize taking your dog to lots of different places and practicing come. I can't emphasize this too much, as this is how you'll teach your dog to generalize this skill in various environments. Just make sure to have your dog on a long lead leash. Stay. Teaching stay can be broken down into 3 major categories: stay for a period of time, stay with distance, and most important, stay while distracted. The key is to break this down and add only one new variable at a time so that you don't overwhelm your dog. Here's what to do. Stay for a period of time. 1. Remain close to your dog during this process. Ask her to sit or lie down and reward her so she gets excited to start the training session. As soon as she sits or lies down, put your palm facing her as though you're telling her to stop. Be really obvious with your hand signal. Find the tiniest reason to acknowledge a stay at this point. So, if she doesn't move, even for a split second, say, "Great, stay," and give her a treat. If she does move, calmly say, "No," and try again. 2. Once you've mastered a brief stay for a few seconds, gradually add time to your stay. Start with 1 second, then 2, then 3. Work up to 30 seconds. If your dog is a hyper, high-energy dog, then know that stay can be a monumental accomplishment for her. So focus on rewarding smaller moments more frequently at first. If your dog is lower energy, you might be able to add time to the stay sooner than expected. You can mix up the time periods you ask for along the way to avoid being too predictable. When you're ready to release your dog from a stay, say something like okay or release or whatever word or phrase you choose to let your dog know the stay is over. If your dog breaks her stay at any point, say no, withhold the reward, and try the drill again for a shorter period of time. Stay with distance. 1. Starting just a few inches from your dog, ask for a basic stay. If you're on the ground and your dog is particularly clingy, as many puppies are, begin by moving just your head a few inches away. If your dog holds her stay, reward for the minor progress. Work up to being able to stand up as she holds her stay. Again, reward her. 2. Now, add distance. Take a quarter of a step backward and return promptly to your dog and reward before she has a chance to move. Notice that you're not pausing at the end of your stay yet. Most people intuitively do this, and it can delay your progress. Remember, change one variable at a time. In this case, the variable is moving away, not moving away and also pausing. 3. Move backward one step, then 2, then 3, gradually working your way up to greater distances. The one constant here is that you immediately return to your dog and reward her before she breaks out of the stay once you've reached your desired distance. If your dog fails 2 times in a row, you're asking too much of her too early. So, decrease the distance the next 2 or 3 times. Do not rush this process. For some dogs, you may need a few training sessions to work up to 5 feet. Others may achieve 50 feet during the first training session. 4. Once your dog is staying at a distance for 20 to 30 times in a row, then work on adding more time at various distances. This is when you can begin pausing. This is a really magical moment because you are now combining duration and distance in a single exercise. At first, be content with a 1 or 2 second stay with some distance. Work your way up to 30 seconds over the next week or so. Stay while distracted. Teaching your dog to stay at doorways is a great way to introduce this concept. You have the advantage of being able to work in a familiar environment, your home, with a more distracting environment at a near distance, the outside. Always prioritize your dog's safety above everything else. Practice this with a leash on if there's a street in front of your door, or introduce the concept to a fenced-in backyard. Here's what to do. 1. Ask your dog to sit by the door and then stay. Since an open door is a fairly significant distraction by itself, we're going to start small. Most dogs understand that when your hand goes near the doorknob, something exciting is about to happen. Touch the doorknob. If your dog doesn't budge, reward her. This is a great example of being one step ahead of your dog, something all good dog trainers are good at. You've rewarded your dog before she even had the chance to break her stay. Repeat this several times. 2. Now take a more significant but still fairly easy step. Open the door an inch or two, and then close it. Again, if your dog holds that stay, give a treat and authentic praise. Gradually open the door farther until it's wide open. Have your dog stay for a few seconds and encourage her to look at you. Now your leave it watch me combo training is going to pay off. After doing this several times, you should notice that your dog automatically begins to anticipate that you want her to look at you and does so. Give her an extra big reward for such an accomplishment. This is called a jackpot reward. 3. If at any point your dog breaks her stay, you should simply say no and close the door, limiting access to the place your dog wants to go. In this case, outside is the consequence for breaking stay. You should also withhold the reward. It's critical to practice this independently of when you are actually opening the door in real life. For example, when guests arrive or when you arrive home with your arms filled with groceries. That's because you'll likely not be able to focus to appropriately teach your dog. Dogs do not respond well to a distracted teacher. 4. Provided your dog is doing well so far, now make the outside really exciting. Ask your dog to stay. Throw a fun toy or even a treat out the door. If your dog resists the urge to cross the threshold, celebrate with her. You may have to cut back on the length of the stay since you've added a new variable here, but you can eventually work up to longer periods of time. Reward for the smallest increments of success here. 5. For For the next year, I strongly recommend insisting that your dog hold a sit stay for 5 to 10 seconds at every open door leading to the outside before allowing her to walk through it. Be really consistent. This is a biggie. Teaching all skills from a distance. Dogs are super sensitive to distance. Your dog may listen when you're up close, but as you move farther away and stretch the training bubble, the distance between your eyes and your dog's eyes, it can get more difficult. There's a definite learning curve to this. You've already learned how to teach stay from a distance, a prerequisite before your dog can learn other skills from a distance. Once your dog knows that, you can apply the same concepts with other skills. Here's what to do. 1. Let's take sit, for example. Ask your dog to sit while you're just a few inches away from her. If you have success, you may try it from a little farther. If not, say no, withhold the reward, and get closer to get a successful sit. Reward when she complies, and then work up to a slightly greater distance. Gradually increase the distance even more. At first, progress is very small and incremental. You'll notice that your dog is compliant only up to a certain specific point. This is normal. Your dog may need some extra time to process this new concept, so be patient. 2. Next, try more difficult skills, such as leave it, following the basic formula I've explained. Your goal will always be to find that point when your dog goes from listening to you to not listening to you. Trust me, with a little experimentation, you'll be able to find that exact point. This is where you need to concentrate your efforts, so you can move on from that spot very slowly and deliberately. 3. As your dog gets better at this, take your training outside. Of course, when you do, always keep your dog on a long lead leash to be certain she stays safe. Also, remember to take a step back in training because you've changed a major variable, the environment. Teaching all skills with distractions. Your dog may listen to everything you say when you're home and perform any action you ask for, but the real trick is getting her to do that any place, any time. We've already covered staying while distracted, the prerequisite to training your dog to do all things I teach in this book while distracted. However, don't wait for real-world situations. Any attempts to teach your dog while she's, say, in the process of lunging for a cat or excitedly sniffing around a new environment will prove futile most of the time because she'll be too excited to learn a new concept. Instead, set up training exercises to prepare your dog for these inevitable situations. That way, she'll have a foundation when presented with distractions in real life. For the first 6 months to a year, play it safe and do this training with a leash on, even for those dogs who won't leave your side. Also, it will likely help your dog focus if you exercise her before distraction training. Lastly, know that moderate to high energy dogs are more likely to be distracted at first since they are typically more curious about things in general. Lower energy dogs aren't usually captivated by distractions as much, so you might expect success with this skill even sooner. Either way, here's what to do. 1. Begin just outside of your house, maybe in your driveway or yard. Warm your dog up with the leave it, look at me combo exercise we went over earlier. Getting your dog's eyes on you even when there are distractions is crucial to success. If your dog cannot do this in a particular environment using her favorite currency, you are not ready to move on yet. 2. Next, try going to a new environment, ideally one with some distractions, but not too many at first, such as a friend's house or a park during off hours. If you want your dog to listen to you around distractions in a variety of settings, you need to practice often in these places and around unfamiliar distractions. Keeping her on a long lead leash, ask your pet to do the basics such as sit, come, and especially the leave it, look at me combo. Do your absolute best to be upbeat and encouraging as you work with your dog, as though you're saying to her, "Hey, forget all that other stuff you're looking at. The interesting stuff is over here." 3. If your dog is so distracted that all attempts to get her attention on you fail, this likely means the distraction is too great and you should take a step back in your training. Do that by creating distance between the distraction and your dog until you can get her eyes back on you using her favorite currency. In some instances, you may even need to make sure the distraction is completely out of sight. This brings up a critical point. You must become very good at assessing when your dog is in a teachable mindset at a given time. If she won't even sit for you or look at you, This probably means she's not yet prepared for the situation you've put her in. 4. When you're ready for the next step, try a more distracting environment, such as the outside perimeter of a dog park. Reward heavily each time your dog focuses on you and not the other dog she sees. Ask her to sit, lie down, and stay, for instance, and then give her heartfelt praise and a reward. I know that when it comes to training, you may well quickly wean off treats when working on some easy, basic skills such as sit. However, in this situation, the reward isn't for the fact that she's sitting, but because she's staying focused in the face of distractions. While you're distraction training, reward extra generously for an extended period of time, even several months. Leash training. What I love about leash training is that it's a great time to start combining many of the things we've taught in this chapter, such as the leave it, watch me combo, and stay with distractions. Leash walking typically takes 3 weeks to 6 months for your dog to master, depending on how consistent you are and how energetic your dog is. It's certainly not as simple as sit and stay. It takes a lot of work. While some dogs have a nice slow walk, many others need more help in that department. In most cases, by asking your dog to walk slowly, you are asking her to do something that is highly unnatural. Please be empathetic to this point. Humans are relatively slow-moving mammals compared to those of the four-legged variety. Remember, don't attempt leash training during regularly scheduled walks or house training sessions. Keep them separate. Also, I know I may sound like a broken record here, but I can't stress enough how important it is that you meet your pet's physical and mental needs just prior to leash walking training. Dogs cannot absorb intricate concepts like walking extra slowly next to a person, nor is it reasonable to expect them to until you can get their overflowing energy out of them first with a game of fetch or other activity. Here's what to do. 1. As with all new concepts, introduce this one in a very familiar environment, such as inside your house. As you begin to walk with your dog on leash, stop immediately if you think your dog is about to start speeding up and pulling. Remember, the best time to address unwanted behaviors is before they occur. Start walking in the complete opposite direction, asking your dog to look at you. You may even want to walk backward at first to emphasize this eye contact. 2. Throughout the lesson, ask your dog to look at you repeatedly, rewarding her each time. While you won't require your dog to constantly stare at you while on leash, you just want to confirm that she does look at you reliably when you ask her to do so in this setting before moving on. Ask her to do easy things like sit a few times, just to keep her enthusiastic about the training session. Of course, you should also reward for these easy things since you are now asking your dog to do them with a major variable change, the leash. Your main priority throughout leash training is to have longer periods of time without tension on the leash. Repeat this drill indoors until your dog is walking consistently without pulling. 3. Next, take your dog outside, but stay close to home. Walking up and down your street may be best. Remember, you'll have to slow down your training here a bit since you're adding distractions. In this case, the distraction is simply being outside. Be empathetic. Give your dog a grace period at first and let her sniff around and take in the world. As you walk, reward heavily whenever there's no tension on the leash and say something like, "You rock! Good dog!" Remember, a reward doesn't have to be a treat. I once worked with a super high-drive German Shepherd named Zeus, who learned how to walk on a leash very well when I used tug-of-war as the reward exclusively. He was so high energy that when I initiated the game, he was 100% focused on me and not the other distractions nearby. That was one of my favorite leash walking training sessions of all time. 4. Anytime your dog starts to pull forward at all, or even seems like she's going to do so, stop in your tracks. Say no to communicate. The pulling is the thing resulting in this next action, and then abruptly change directions. Get your dog's attention back on you by becoming super animated or placing a treat at her nose and asking her to look at you. Eventually, you'll notice that every once in a while, your dog will begin glancing at you without your having to ask. These are really special moments, and you need to find ways to communicate how much you love it when your dog voluntarily does this. Jackpot rewards work great. 5. Teaching your dog to listen with distractions during leash training is similar to what we covered earlier in the distraction training section, but now you'll be doing it while moving. When you encounter a distraction on a walk, it's important to test for teachability. You do this by asking your dog to sit periodically as you get farther and farther away from the distraction. When she sits, you are likely in teachable territory. The goal now is to get her eyes on you and advance slowly, using rewards liberally and taking steps back when necessary. You may need to back off from the distraction at about 10 feet or even a block. With more severe cases, you may need to go out of sight and work up to very distracting scenarios. If your dog absolutely will not look at you or sit, you are in unteachable territory. Chances are your dog is just not ready for this situation. Don't become frustrated. You just need to gradually work up to it over time. Head collars. If your dog is literally too strong for you and you cannot control your dog, a head collar may help. A head collar goes around your dog's snout and acts much like a halter for a horse. If your dog attempts to pull, her head rises or goes to one side or the other, so it makes walking fast impractical. Some people might confuse these collars' appearance with a muzzle, but they do not prevent barking or biting. These collars are humane, whereas prong, electric, or choke collars are certainly not. Head collars are a shortcut to leash training, but they will not teach your dog to walk nicely. Since this is outside-in training, the moment the head collar comes off, your dog will probably go right back to pulling. That's why I don't recommend head collars unless you really need to use them. If you do, introduce a head collar slowly. Most dogs need time to adjust, since the collar can be a bit awkward at first. Most dogs learn to tolerate them within a couple of weeks or so. Teaching your dog proper greetings. No jumping. Many people like when their dogs run to them and jump all over them whenever they come home. However, you may not want your dog to do that, especially if you have guests over or if you have a rather large dog who can literally knock you over. Personally, I love it when my dogs jump on me if I ask them to. The key part of that sentence is that I'm asking them to greet me that way. Otherwise, they won't do it without permission. By nature, jumping is usually a very friendly behavior. Dogs simply are psyched to see us. However, it's important to teach your dog proper greetings. Then you can pick and choose if and when she can let loose and show her excitement by jumping. Before starting this lesson, if you notice your dog is in a super animated mood and unable to process what you're teaching, you need to first let her burn off some energy with a little exercise. Here's what to do. 1. Work on teaching your dog proper greetings in your house at first, when no one else is around. As you approach your dog slowly, if she jumps up, even for a second, or indicates she's about to, say no in a quiet voice and take a step back abruptly. In this case, the consequence is stepping back so your dog can't physically interact with you, as well as no reward. She must have all paws on the ground to get any attention from you. However, if she hesitates for even a split second and doesn't jump, praise her and reward her. The idea is that she'll start realizing that she'll get what she wants, your attention, and a reward when she doesn't jump. 2. Next, set up more challenging training sessions. Have a partner squeak a toy, for instance, or even have your friends encourage your dog to jump on them. There is a lot of value in setting up super tempting exercises like this because ultimately your dog should listen to you above everyone else. At this point in training, she shouldn't be allowed to jump on guests, even if they say, "Oh, no worries, it's fine," as many guests will. Again, the point is that you and only you say whether or not the jumping is okay. Otherwise, your dog must keep all four paws on the ground until you give permission. 3. Anytime you anticipate that your dog is about to jump, such as when you first come home, at first, take a deep breath, put down your belongings, and walk past the bundle of energy that is your dog toward your treats. You may want to keep soft treats handy by the front door. Then, ask your dog to sit and stay. Reward heavily when she does so. But be a bit more reserved than usual so as not to encourage hyperbehavior. Over the next 3 weeks or so, insist on longer increments of time. 4. A common mistake people make, particularly when their dog jumps on guests, is expecting the guests to do the steps I've advised you to do in this section. You are the one who needs to teach your dog how to act appropriately. It's also a good idea to have your dog on leash when company is over so that you have extra control of your dog. And again, if you know you are going to have company over and your dog is on a full battery, get her outside to burn off some energy just prior to your guests arriving. By your doing this, she'll calm down and may not even jump at all. She'll also quickly learn that she gets to hang out with you guys when she chills out. You will not be able to teach your dog not to jump on guests if your attention is divided. So instead of trying to entertain your guest and train your dog simultaneously, tell the visitor, "Excuse me, I need to spend the next 60 seconds teaching my dog not to jump." Then ask your dog to sit and stay. Once she complies, allow your guest to pet her. If your dog shows she's even thinking about jumping, create a human barrier between her and the person, and again, ask for a sit and stay. Another option, if your dog is really hyper or unexercised, or you just don't want to devote much attention to training at the moment your guests arrive, remove your dog from the setting. For example, you may want to keep her in the bedroom when your visitors first enter your home, and then, once they are settled, you can try bringing her out on leash so you can teach her with more focus and attention. Ask Zach. Hiring a trainer. I think I need some extra help with training. What are my options? Working with a dog trainer can be a great way to speed along training or to help you work through a particular behavioral issue with your pet. However, you have to choose wisely. Dog training is an unregulated industry. Anyone without any qualifications whatsoever can call themselves a dog trainer, and believe me, they do. This obviously leads to a lot of bad options out there. It's important to find an authentic, positive trainer. Almost all dog trainers claim to be positive trainers, but most of them are not. Their general game plan may be to pay lip service to positive training methods, but if they don't get instant results, they'll often view this as justification to use an overabundance of force in lieu of real teaching. No matter what your specific dog is like, force is never the answer. So how do you avoid this kind of trainer? Ask questions like, "How do I discipline my dog when she jumps up on me?" and see how they respond. If they tend to encourage thoughtful teaching and avoid telling you to knee your dog in the chest or how to manhandle your dog in some way, you're off to a good start. You can also ask, "Do I need a special collar?" Another great question to separate the bad apples from the good ones. If they tell you that you need a prong, choke, metal, or electric collar, they are not the trainer for you. These guys will almost always tell you that these collars are fine as long as you use them properly. However, there is absolutely no proper way to use these devices. Also, if a trainer uses the common buzzwords alpha, dominant, or balanced, which means they likely rely on physical corrections, cross them off your list. You don't need to pay someone to tell you how to constantly punish your dog in the name of teaching. Instead, seek a trainer who is well-versed in the latest science and ethics in dog training. For example, many trainers who use clickers have a clue about ethical training because clicker training is specifically designed to acknowledge the positive things dogs do. Even if you don't want to use a clicker, you can still hire these trainers. Also, most knowledgeable trainers will ask you a lot of questions so that they can best understand why your dog is behaving in a particular way, rather than simply attributing her behaviors to some superstition or breed stereotype. Here's an overview of the various training options. Group classes. I'm a huge fan of group classes for many reasons. First of all, many cover all the basics that you might need to know. Also, such classes are excellent for socialization, provided the instructor makes an effort to keep dogs with behavioral issues at a distance. Plus, this option is typically a lot less expensive than private lessons. Check your local pet supply store or local humane society for options in your area, and ask your vet for suggestions. But again, beware of old school trainers here. They're everywhere. Private lessons. Private lessons can be great for people who need a little extra help with their dog. If you follow all of my advice in this book and still have issues with, say, chewing or jumping or house training, then a private instructor can address your very specific situation. The same is true if your dog has severe separation issues, aggression, or other anxieties. The Association of Professional Dog Trainers can help you find a trainer in your area. Again, you can also ask your veterinarian, local humane society, and friends who have dogs for recommendations. Make sure you ask the questions I mentioned earlier and always ask for references. Day training and board and train. I strongly advise that you don't consider this option, where you drop your dog off for the day or even for weeks at a time at a training facility and they promise they'll train your dog. It can be very pricey, and because your dog is out of sight, you won't really know what methods the trainer is using. Most important, I know that my job as a trainer isn't to train your dog for you, it's to show you how to do that. Remember, the most crucial factor when you're teaching your dog is developing the bond between the both of you. Another trainer can't do that for you. In short, these board and train options take the most important person, you, out of the equation. I see no point in that. Logistics of training. How many times should I train my dog each day, and how long should each session last? When introducing new concepts during your primary training sessions, you should be in a familiar environment, such as inside your house. In general, 1 hour of formal training per day, split up into 3 to 6 training sessions, is best. But that's not all. You have the rest of the day to do more casual or secondary training in real-world situations. Maybe you're watching TV and a dog walks past your house, but your dog doesn't bark. Acknowledge and reward this. Or maybe you see that your dog is about to steal food off the counter. Get over there fast and create a barrier with your hand and turn this into a brief leave-it training session. Also, remember that once your dog understands the various concepts you are teaching, it's time to move to a slightly more distracting setting. But don't go crazy here. Sometimes we have the tendency to take steps that are too big. Always break things down, one step at a time. Also, practice everywhere you can. The park, your pet supply store, in your neighborhood, and anywhere else you want your dog to listen. Consistency. My dog knows the basic commands, but she seems to pick and choose when she listens to me. Why isn't she consistent? I get this question a lot. Why? Because most people have the expectation that their dogs should make faster progress than they do, particularly in unfamiliar environments. Also, they may be using an inadequate currency, cutting out rewards too early, or they are changing up multiple variables simultaneously. Remember, you've got to practice every skill in many different settings and under different circumstances for your dog to fully get it. Most important, don't underestimate the importance of time and patience. Too many treats. I'm afraid that if I give my dog a treat every time she does something I like, she'll quickly become overweight. Should I be worried? First of all, since you're using treats like chicken and you're keeping those pieces very small, remember, the size of a pea for a medium to large dog and the size of a grain of rice for a small dog, there should be no real likelihood of your dog gaining weight. If your dog is putting on too much weight, that's a sign you should make your treats even smaller or reduce her overall food intake per your vet's recommendations. Also, as I explained earlier, eventually, over time, you can phase out treats. They are not a permanent part of training unless you want them to be. Of course, don't forget about the power of play. Far too many people insist on using food rewards with a dog who would be just as happy, if not happier, if they would use play as the reward. Plus, such exercise encourages fitness and weight loss.